Hey!
Hey!
Guess what's happening today?
What?
Krypton!
Really?
It's tonight!
Krypton?
I'm not kidding!
So, how do you think a DC show on sci-fi is going to do?
It's going to be a disaster!
But I think it might be interesting.
It could be, who knows?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, this is Casual Wednesdays with Doom Rocket. I am your host, Jared Jones, and with me, as always, is the Selena Kyle to my Talia al Ghul, Molly Jane Kramer.
Wow, so you're Talia.
Well, I mean, I'm the one, you know, that got away, moved on to start a secret cabal to take over the world via brainwashed children. Clearly that was me.
Okay.
And you're the slinky one that gets to...
Get to wear the diamonds, that's cool.
That's cool. And scratch. Bail. Anyway, yes, we are back with Casual Wednesdays, another one. We're three in a row now for our weekly schedule.
Yeah, we'll see how long we can keep this up.
I'm exhausted already.
No, it's good. It's fun.
Finding it hard to muster the enthusiasm every week.
Well, it's hard to gather up like enough info to be spewing out weekly as opposed to twice a month.
I mean, we tried last week just to do like a generic, what's your favorite whatever.
I thought that turned out well.
It turned out okay. Can't do that every week, though.
No.
Gotta talk about what's actually going on in the industry. Otherwise, you're a hashtag fake fan. I'm just kidding. You're fine. Everything's great. So, yes, this week we are talking about June solicits, because what the hell else is there to talk about?
I think this is the first time we've done, like, a solicits discussion.
It is. It is the first time. I don't know why we don't do it more often, actually, because, like, you know... This is the kind of stuff we look forward to. It's the horizon. It's the stuff that, you know, we'd rather be reading than the comics we have on our desk the current week.
Yeah, no, I it's funny. I pour through the entire stupid previews catalog every month.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, that sometimes I put more time into that than into reading my books, which is really silly. But this is part of my job, having to see this stuff, because once a month, me and my bosses, we go through and we decide what we're going to order for the store and for our inventory and all that stuff. So it's interesting to be reading it this early. Usually I don't read it until it's in the previous catalog. Mm-hmm. And this is a week early on that.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
It's a good habit to keep, especially if you're a comic enthusiast. You don't have to be working in comics in any capacity to know what's happening, because publishers are kind enough to let you know what's up way ahead of time.
And when you just do it this way, you don't have to buy previews and have that big, stupid, phone book-sized magazine sitting in your house.
It is a bit unwieldy. Now, I'm all about analog. Mm-hmm. I like floppies. I like listening to records. You know, all this is great. But when you get a previews in the house, they stack up really quick. They're oversized.
And there's not, like, they're irrelevant after a month.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing in them that you're going to need.
Like, unless you're into, like, collage making.
It would work well for making collages, yes.
Yeah, but are we making collages?
No.
In the other room, there's at least a small stack of previews in there.
That's
and they
true.
Mock me. They're like, hey, you remember, do you remember Convergence? No, nobody remembers Convergence. Damn it. But June is coming. And there's a lot of exciting stuff coming down the pipeline. Marvel's doing its fresh new thing, and DC's got... I guess DC's doing kind of like a softball reboot for a couple of its books as well.
It seems like they might be. It's weird.
Well, do you just want to start with DC?
Well, I was going to say, since the previous catalog goes that direction, it goes DC, actually then Image, then Marvel. Mm-hmm. But we can do whatever order we want.
It's true. We're the bosses.
But I know DC is the one you're raring to talk about.
I don't know. There's one thing in particular I'd like to really talk about. I'm just going to break it down in the order in which it sees, and we'll just react
okay.
to it. All right, sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's a weekly podcast. What the hell do you want from us, people? All right, Hawkman number one, From the Pages of Metal, written by Robert Venditti, art and cover by Brian Hitch?
Yeah, I wonder how long he's going to be on that book.
Well, he really plugged it out with Justice League. I was really surprised how long he lasted on that book.
But he was writing it most of the time, mm-hmm. not reading.
I'm sure he read at least one of his books.
I would assume. Mm-hmm. There's nothing about that creative team that makes me want to get that book, and mm-hmm. nothing about the character really makes me want to get it either. So, I mean, I think I'm going to be skipping it.
You know what's hilarious about Metal? It worked so hard to get us to care about Hawkman again, and it failed.
Well, there was that Hawkman ongoing for a bit that James Robinson and Jeff Johns wrote that I heard was really good, but never really delved into.
Who cares about Hawkman?
People do. People who like that you know, weird-ass old continuity.
Sure, but do we know anyone that likes Hawkman?
That doesn't mean they don't exist.
I'm sure they exist. Hey, if you like Hawkman and you're listening to this, we love you.
Yeah, give us a shout-out.
No, no hard feelings. But if you could do me a favor and explain to me why you love him so much, I would really appreciate it. If anything, I like Hawkgirl largely because of the Justice League cartoon.
I did like Hawkman and also Hawkgirl in the John's JSA run.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool stuff. But again, having a character be a you know, just a member of a team as opposed to having their own book, there's a totally different feel to that. So
yeah, absolutely. The only thing I can glean from Hawkman is that him and Green Arrow used to have beef.
I don't know.
I don't know if that's still a thing.
I've forgotten everything that I ever knew about Hawkman's.
Well, anyway, moving right along. We got Justice League issue number one. Justice League is rebooting.
Apparently.
I like Scott Snyder when he does horror, when he does like really introspective booty things.
Yeah, I like his creator-owned stuff.
We saw what he could do with a big wide canvas, and it exhausted me emotionally, but Metal did happen, and it was a raging success. And of course, where could Scott Snyder himself go after something so big? The only book it could be was Justice League. But what's interesting about this is that Jorge Jimenez is going to be doing the debut two issues along with Jim Chung.
It's very weird. I guess they're doing a one and then the other, and then back to the one and the other. So they're swapping issues. I was assuming they were going to do like a little story arc and then another little story arc so that there would be like a consistency, because those two don't really have like very... kind of similar art styles. Well, I mean, it's similar to what they did with Wonder Woman when Rebirth started, except they did the smart thing with that, and each artist was doing a separate storyline. Right. So once you finally collect it, it's not like this weird jarring thing like, oh, this art just changed to somebody else.
Well, I mean, that's practically every single DC trade that has ever existed.
Well, since Rebirth, yeah, sadly.
Since Rebirth, yeah. What do you think of the lineup? It's pretty much the Justice League cartoon plus Cyborg.
That's fine. I can't really muster a ton of enthusiasm for this book, because I'm really sad Christopher Priest's run is ending.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll probably read the first one. I'm not sure. I mean, a lot of Snyder's superhero stuff doesn't super grab me anymore, so I don't know. I guess we'll see.
I'm just pumped that Martian Manhunter's back on the team.
That is pretty exciting.
That he's back, period, because he was relegated to the periphery since the New 52. He was put on Death Watch. Or Stormwatch, whatever.
I think he had a little mini during the New 52 at one point.
He did. I think Rob Williams wrote it, and Eddie Barrows drew it. It was actually pretty damn good. I enjoyed it, but John Jones is one of my favorite characters. I've yet to see him done true justice, regardless of any run, besides the Guire DeMatteis Justice League International run, and maybe Morrison's JLA.
I feel like everyone has a hard time finding his place in the DC universe proper without having be on the Justice League.
I know.
And so if that's what they got to do, I'm glad they have him back on the league.
Me too. I don't know about the little fish fins, the little Martian fins he's got on his forearms.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. That's kind
of
weird.
Who cares? Moving on. Man of Steel.
Hmm.
They're using the original logo from 86. Yeah, that's the original logo. So it's like, this is how much creativity we're putting into this. But
or maybe
fine.
They really want a heavy-duty homage.
Or perhaps they could have called it the Man of Tomorrow. Last Son of Krypton's a little too wordy.
Man of Steel's good.
Man of Steel's fine. We got the solicits for the first three issues here. The whole enchilada. What do you think?
Which is weird, because I guess they're advanced soliciting the last two issues, which is weird, that they're retro soliciting issue one.
Yeah.
So that's fine, whatever.
What's interesting to me is that the one little story tidbit that we glean from it is that Superman's dealing with what happened, and I'm quoting here, to Lois and John, end quote. If they get rid of Superboy, if Jonathan Kent gets like tossed aside like Chris Kent did, like in Last Son,
I feel like they won't, because I've seen Bendis talking on Twitter about how much he loves writing John.
Oh, yeah?
And Lois.
See, I think he'd write a good Luthor. So I hope they're making Luthor like a villain again, like proper suit and tie, really evil, just wants to kill Superman, that kind of stuff.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool.
I feel like they're going to keep Lois and John around. I'd be also very upset if they just get rid of them.
Are you kidding me? That might be a deal breaker for me. I mean, they're not going to get rid of Lois Lane. That's not going to happen.
But if they get rid of the relationship again, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah, that would be something.
Because that was a huge, huge thing that I hated about the New 52.
Same. Hey, you remember when Superman and Wonder Woman used to make out?
Ugh.
Remember that?
It's the weirdest couple ever.
This is just yet another take of the Superman mythos. Do we need it?
Yeah, that's the first thing that I thought of when they announced this, is that I don't know if we need a new origin story, they always seem to think that that's going to like bring the readers back. Mm-hmm. And with Brian Michael Bendis writing it and having it, you know, possibly bringing some Marvel fans over, you know, his regular audience being like, okay, I guess I'll try this out at DC.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great way to do it. Like the artist lineup on these books are amazing. There's Ivan Reyes, Doc Shaner, Ryan Sook, Kevin McGuire, Adam Hughes, and Jason Fabok. Each with one issue. I mean, we're going to get some Adam Hughes interiors here.
Yeah, some Superman Adam Hughes interiors. Yeah. That's huge.
It's pretty bonkers.
Do we need another Superman origin story?
Well, I guess we'll find out when those go on sale and see how they do.
All right, we'll be watching. Moving on. Plastic Man number one by Gail Simone.
And art by Adriana Mello.
That's true.
Who did some work a few years ago that I remember thinking it was pretty okay. So the exciting thing about this is that this is two ladies working on a solo dude character book,
yeah,
which you don't always get. So I'm kind of stoked. Like, I would rather read Gail Simone writing a lady or a team of ladies, Birds of Prey.
Oh, cool.
But having her write Plastic Man is really cool because there's been like rumors, talks that she was going to be working on a Plastic Man book for like 10 years now.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm really glad this is finally coming out. Yeah, just I'm excited there's a Plastic Man book in general. That'll be fun.
Plastic Man's come back in a big way between this and the Terrifics.
I'm wondering how this is going to meld with that one.
Yeah, the cover makes it look a little more throwbacky, a little more pulpy.
Yeah, it sounds like it doesn't, they don't sound like they're taking place at the same time, but we'll see.
Like he's the one, like, tool that can actually diffuse dark matter energy from the dark multi. Who the fuck knows?
I don't know, but it works in Terrifics. It's great.
All right, moving on.
One thing that I hate is mentioning Gail Simone on Birds of Prey. There's no Birds of Prey in these solicits because the May issue is its final issue.
That's the one.
Which is a kind of a big bummer.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, of series getting like canceled or not canceled, is that they're soliciting these Teen Titans and Titans, and they're written by, these are the people that were writing them before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's Abnett on the Titans one.
Yep.
Art by Paul Pelletier and others. And then the Teen Titans one is written by Adam Glass, art by Robes and Roca and others.
I don't know if Glass was writing Teen Titans up until, I can't remember.
He was at one point though, right?
Possibly. I kind of fell off that book. I know that Percy was writing it for a bit,
mm-hmm,
in the beginning, yeah, during Rebirth.
But they're both $4.99, they're both 48 pages long, and they're both setting the stage for a fearless new direction that will change blah, blah, blah forever. Well, I'm wondering if they're going to restart it at a new number one, if they're going to continue with the old numbering. I'm interested to see if they do continue with an old numbering, if this helps bring people in.
Well, they got to do a Titans number one eventually because they got the TV show on the way.
That's true.
So there's no way they're going to be avoiding it.
They'll wait, though, for that, won't they?
Yeah.
Won't they want a new number one when that happens?
Yeah, I guess they're probably going to just, like, withhold the Titans until these. But then the Teen Titans also have a movie coming out this summer.
Oh, that's right.
Teen Titans Go,
yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Did you hear that Nicolas Cage is going to do the voice of Superman?
No.
Yes. Yes, they're finally doing a voice for Superman. It's Nicolas Cage.
That's pretty awesome.
If that's not the coolest thing I've ever heard, then I can't finish that sentence.
It's weird that they're not doing like a Krypton tie-in, but I guess one can consider that maybe Action 1000 is going to be their Superman in general tie-in.
Yeah, that's
which also, I mean, in having a new Superman origin story, having Action 1000 might have a bunch of people be like, oh, hey, I want to read more about this Superman character. And they'll want to pick up maybe an origin story thing. Action 1000 might sell gangbusters.
Oh, it's going to. Every collector and their mother's going to be picking them up.
Yeah, but I wonder what the kind of recognition is for just average humans for an issue number 1000 of a comic book.
Moving on. Let's do one more for DC and then bounce. We got The Unexpected from the New Age of DC Heroes, or DC's New Age of Heroes, however they're saying it, from Steve Orlando and Ryan Sook.
Ryan Sook and Carrie Nord.
Carrie Nord.
So Carrie Nord is also
really good, great.
Top-notch artist, really good. I wonder how much each are doing. Like, if it's going to be half and half, mm-hmm, if it's going to be, like, 4 pages from Ryan Sook and the rest Carrie Nord.
Yeah. I don't know. Sook did, I mean, he doesn't do a ton of interiors, but every once in a while he pops out a really solid full issue. He did one of Action Comics during the Mr. Oz thing.
Yeah, he does some random stuff. He also did an issue during that Multiplicity arc, but it was just a few pages, and then there was a lot of other people doing pages.
Oh,
in
that
there,
Multiplicity
remember?
Arc was a mess. Yeah. But he also did an issue of Superman American Alien.
Oh, that's right. And but I that was like a big prestige thing. DC really that's wanted true. That to make a splash.
Speaking of, where's my hardcover?
I don't know.
I don't have a hardcover of it yet.
Then order it.
Oh, man.
Silly. We actually have one more thing to talk about.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
All these motherfucking Prelude to the Wedding one-shots.
I didn't want to talk about that.
No?
I mean, we can. You brought it up. Cat's out
I think
bag.
We should talk about
My
it.
My God.
It is 5 one-shots. At least they're $3.99. I feel like at Marvel, they'd be $4.99.
Mm-hmm. What's with the name? Prelude to the Wedding?
I don't know. Oh. I feel like they could have done a little... A little dressing up on that title.
I know on this podcast, I'm the cynical one that's kind of obnoxious. Sorry about that. But... this name, there, no effort went into it.
Not only that, it's Batman, Prelude to the Wedding, hyphen, title, versus
whatever.
Blah.
And some of these get really unwieldy. So yeah. Batman, Prelude to the Wedding, Robin versus Ra's al Ghul.
Number one.
Batman, Prelude to the Wedding, Nightwing versus Hush, Batgirl versus the Riddler, Red Hood versus Anarchy, Harley Quinn versus the Joker. Are all of Batman's villains this pissed about Batman and Catwoman getting married? And if they are, how do they know they're getting married? Did Batman and Catwoman send out invites to superheroes?
Well, they probably put out Save the Days. They probably put a little notice in the Gotham Gazette.
But no one knows Batman and Bruce Wayne are the same person.
No, but maybe they put out the notice as Batman and Catwoman getting married and not Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle.
I wouldn't put it past Tom King to actually write a wedding issue where Batman and Catwoman in their gear are up at the altar. And I don't know, is Batman Catholic? Do they get a priest in this situation?
I don't know.
Catwoman doesn't strike me as the religious type.
I don't know. It's just talks about them wanting to possibly elope in the solicits for the issues for issue 48 and 49.
And another thing, Catwoman doesn't strike me as the marrying type either.
I don't know.
Maybe we entered into the Earth 2 reality pre-crisis? Is this what we're reading?
I don't care. I have enjoyed how Batman has become very romance comic-y. Mm-hmm. I think it's adorable. And fuck the haters. That's all I gotta say.
Hey, I'm fine with it. I don't know about these tie-ins, though.
Yeah, but it's better than all of the Resurrection of Wolverine tie-ins over at Marvel. Those are mini-series.
That's what we call a transition. Nice one.
Let's move over to Marvel.
Yeah, Marvel solicits in June.
Do you want to start with those Wolverine ones?
Yeah, why not?
Like the X books are like usually at the end ish of the solicits here, right before the trade collections.
Right. So in June, a lot of these will already be into their second issue.
Yes. But they are.
They're all Hunt for Wolverine : whatever's. Some of them with
talk about some unwieldy
puns.
Titles.
We got Adamantium Agenda with Tom Taylor and R.B. Silva.
I mean, there's good people on these books, just like there's good people on those Prelude to the Wedding one-shots.
Mariko Tamaki on Claws of a Killer, which is...
That's pretty cool, right?
I would read that. We got Mystery and Madripoor by Jim Zub and Tony Silas, and then Weapon Lost, number 2. I mean, it's just Wolverine. It's just the short guy with claws pointing out of his forearms. I mean, why the big fuss? And we already have like 5 Wolverines already. There's that blonde one on X-Men Blue or whatever.
Oh, yeah, the ultimate one, yeah.
Yeah, and then you've got Laura.
X-23.
Mm-hmm. Who is the Wolverine right now. I guess not for long. And then Old Man Logan. Mm-hmm. How many of these damn people do you need running around?
And there's Dokken.
Who?
Wolverine's like son, Dokken.
His son?
Yeah.
Like an actual like spawn of his loins son?
Yes. Wasn't that really? Or was it a clone of him? I don't remember. But it's Daken. He had his own book, Dark Wolverine, for like a little bit.
Who named
like,
him?
I don't remember.
That's not a name. Dokken? That's like some like an edgelord like got tied down and finally decided to have kids and he was like, well, I'm still gonna leave my stamp on this kid.
That's been his name for a while.
Oh boy.
But I think it's funny that DC did like, okay, I'm gonna do these 5 one shots, but Marvel is doing 5 4- or 5- issue miniseries. It's a lot.
I'm not gonna read any of them.
I'm wondering if anybody is going to read all of them. Like, give me all those Wolverines.
Well, that would be great. That would be great for business.
Yes, I think it would be bad for the person reading it because I think it might be too much.
Oh no,
too much.
Well, here's a weird one: Wakanda Forever, Amazing Spider-Man #1.
Yeah, this is interesting.
There's pluses because the Dora Milaje are being featured in their own book.
But weird the thing is that they were already. In the miniseries that Roxane Gay partially wrote called World of Wakanda.
That's right.
But the cool thing about this one is that Nyeri Okorafor is writing it. She is a celebrated novelist, mm-hmm. award-winning, super awesome sci-fi writer. I don't think I know Alberto Jimenez Albuquerque's work, but honestly, I think this will be welcomed because that the Black Panther showed that there was an audience,
yeah, absolutely. A readership. Why Spider-Man?
I don't know. It's weird. Maybe they feel like that's an easy intro for other... I don't know.
Spider-Man?
People who might not be going in for the Dora Milaje and might want to read the Spider-Man book.
I guess.
I think it's just because it's like a recognizable character.
So many other characters that would fit a little more ably into that, I think. But whatever. What do I know?
I trust Nyeri Okorafor. I think it'll be cool. I think she's doing... Right now, I think she's doing like a digital book of some sort for them. A digital comic for Marvel.
For Marbles?
Yeah. Hmm. I remember seeing her name previously, so yeah.
Well, moving on. Thor number one.
Yeah, like...
No longer mighty.
Yeah, no longer a lady. No longer Jane. I can't not be excited for this, but I'm kind of, you know...
Jason Aaron's still writing Thor.
Yeah, and it's still the same thing. Like, he talks about continuing having, like, you know, the future King Thor storyline going on with art by Christian Ward, no less. Mm-hmm. Cool. And the regular art will be by Mike Del Mundo. Which is cool because they collaborated previously on that Weird World mini during Secret Wars. So we know they can work together well. I know Mike Del Mundo's art's amazing. I'm just kind of bummed that, you know, it's not Jane anymore.
No more Jane.
Yeah, but I will always read a Thor book as long as it's not like Drek.
A boar?
Yes. So I'm kind of excited about this. They're soliciting two issues this month, which is probably just for the first month, because mm-hmm. I really hope they're not going twice monthly on this.
Well, I don't know how Jason Aaron could pull that off doing Avengers as well.
Yeah, and that's supposed to be coming out 18 times a year, which is a lot. Wow. But it's probably just the two for the first month. That's what they'll do a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. But, speaking of, let's talk about Avengers. Oh, wait, we already talked about the Avengers.
We did talk about Avengers.
A couple episodes ago, mm-hmm. so we skipped that. Tony Stark, Iron Man number one.
And like the 20 armor variant covers they're having for it.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering if like I'm assuming those are all going to be orderable, which sucks for me because that means there's going to be some customer who's going to want to order every single one of them, and I'm going to have to pull all of them. Ugh, jerks!
Yeah, gotta order all these stupid ones. But Dan Slott jumping from Spidey to Iron Man,
and that's after he kind of made Peter into Tony.
Yeah, Peter was Tony for a good chunk of Amazing Spider-Man, like during the Marvel Now or Marvel Right Now.
I don't know what they called it.
I don't know. It's hard to keep up.
In the past 2 years-ish.
I enjoyed his Spider-Man run. I'm not sad to see it go.
He was on it for a long time.
For a very long time. It's a wise decision to move on to something else. Moving from Spider-Man to Iron Man feels like a step over instead of a step forward.
Yeah.
But what the hell do I know again?
Yeah, but absolutely also, nothing. Like, if you're writing Spider-Man, like, where else are you going to go?
There are dozens of places you go. DC being one of them, creator-owned being another. I mean, I'm just spitballing here, but like Iron Man, if I ever wrote comics, that'd be like one of the last characters I'd ever want to write.
Well, it's funny because that is one of the last characters Bendis ever wrote, and then he hightailed it over to DC. Yeah.
We got Mark Waid on Ant-Man and the Wasp.
But before that, Al Ewing on Immortal Hulk, which might be great.
We
could
have gotten
great.
back around to that.
I was just going in north. But Immortal Hulk, from what I've heard of it, it's like a horror take on the Hulk.
And, which I like.
Yeah, and I feel like Al Ewing has not gotten his due as a writer over at Marvel. I think they always kind of put him on these sort of middling titles that he makes really great, but just don't get the attention that they should.
Yeah, they put him on a Rocket Raccoon book, they put him on the Ultimates, and then kept that going for a bit. People enjoyed the Ultimates, though.
Yeah, but I mean, like, he was on U.S. Avengers, mm-hmm. he's been on, like, Royals, like, a bunch of books that really don't garner the audience that he deserves. But I really hope this one is something that gets him noticed.
Well, I mean, it did it for Greg Pak.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Hulk's a really great book for a writer to flex their creative muscles, if you'll indulge me. Mm-hmm. Al Ewing has limitless wells of imagination, like really focusing in on the monster angle of Hulk. Mm-hmm. No more Hulk versus the army or any of that crap, but actually a monster to be feared. I like that concept.
Yeah,
it's something cool. New, and my God, with the Hulk, I mean, how many stories can you tell?
Yeah,
right?
Even though there are lots of new number ones, there's not a lot of new in these solicits. Mm-hmm. But, okay, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, it's fine. We don't need to talk about it.
No?
Let's talk about the Sentry. Oh. Jeff Lemire, back at Marvel.
Well, he seems to be everywhere right now.
I know. He's been a busy, busy boy, which I like because he's my favorite writer.
Kim Jacinto did the interiors on, I think, the first A-Force arc.
That's right.
It's good art.
Yes,
it's good art.
Sentry, yes or no?
I don't know. Like, I haven't read much of the Sentry except for when he was in the OG New Avengers run.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fine, and
he was the fake Stan Lee creation that Marvel hid away from.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very interesting, like, way to introduce a character.
They lied to us.
It was funny. And I have been reading Doctor Strange, which he has shown up in a little bit lately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm getting to the point where I will read a book for Jeff Lemire, I think, so I'll probably at least try this out. And I know I like Kim Jacinto's art, but it might be cool.
Speaking of Doctor Strange, Mark Waid, also Doctor Strange.
Yeah, and I like Jesus Saiz, so it's cool to have them together on this book. Cates has lately taken Doctor Strange in weird places, having Loki be Sorcerer Supreme and all that.
I felt like it was a missed opportunity for Cates. I really do, because I really wanted to see what he would do with a solid Stephen Strange arc, and instead we got Loki instead.
Well, there's a lot of Doctor Strange in it, but there's a lot of Loki in it too, and I do like how he writes Loki, and I do love Loki in general, so mm-hmm. I can't complain. But it isn't what I thought it was going to be. And I feel like Mark Waid, when he gets on books, he likes to often go back to, like, very meat and potatoes, basic superhero. Not basic in a bad way,
yeah,
but basic in a good way. Like the going back to the archetypes and such.
Right.
So I think it'll be good.
All right, one more Marvel, and we got to move on. Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man Annual, number one. By Mr. Chip Zdarsky, but with art by Mike Allred and colors by Laura Allred, of course.
Which is, I'm stoked for this. Like, I was...
out of this world.
I was stoked for Joe Quinones to be on here, but Mike Allred, same levels of awesome.
I don't know, yeah, figure out who's editing this book, but they're turning the Spidey book into kind of like the boutique Spidey book.
Yeah.
Like, it's got, like, really interesting artists, and Zdarsky has, like, this knack of telling, like, really poignant, sweet, but... you know, thrilling and action-packed tales. It feels like a direction Marvel ought to be going, like with Somni and Waid on Cap, and all these wonderful artists and Zdarsky on Spectacular Spidey. This is the kind of Marvel stuff that I want to read. Kind of bright, colored, ebullient, fun.
I have a feeling that's not necessarily the stuff that's really selling a lot for him, though.
Well, then we'll always have Weapon H.
Which just came out this week, guys. But speaking of Spider-Man and of Dan Slott, Slott's very final issue comes out in June.
That's right.
With Marcos Martin on art. It's issue 801, so it's going to be his last Spidey, his first Iron Man, which is interesting.
It's going to be a good month for him. Yeah. Bittersweet.
Yeah. There really is so much in Marvel that we could talk about because they have so many freaking books.
I know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We didn't even mention Infinity Countdown and all its subsequent tie-ins. Yeah.
And there's going to be a double book that Scotty Young is writing and Nick Klein is drawing, which is... actually making me kind of intrigued to read a Deadpool book, but probably not completely.
Not. You got Cullen Bunn and Mark Bagley on another one.
Yeah. Cullen Bunn seems to just like...
he has a clone.
No, but
twin brother.
He does so many of like these Deadpool minis that they can then sell as a single volume,
mm-hmm.
which works well for graphic novel sales. So that, if it works, do it.
If it works, it works.
Yeah. But over to Image.
Let's just start down the line. We got The Weatherman, number one. We talked about this briefly in a previous episode.
We did.
Jody Lahop writes the story. Nathan Fox, art and covers. And Dave Stewart doing the colors. Tom Muller doing covers as well. Just wanted to mention that because he's my favorite.
All the good books have Tom Muller involved, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really great that they announced that book at Image Expo and the next month. Oh boy, it's already actually solicited.
That's
a lot of fun.
As
opposed to waiting 2 years
for it.
That's
good news, yeah.
There's also, as much as I don't necessarily like Mark Miller, The Magic Order, number one of six, which is the first of, like, since Mark Miller sold Miller World to Netflix, this is the first Netflix comic book, which I think the main thing with that is that then that means that they, like, have, you know, first option or whatever to develop it, I think.
I find it so obnoxious that Mark Miller thinks he could just write comics as springboards to other properties. And people who treat their pitches as such should be ashamed of themselves.
I feel like a lot of people do that, though.
Yeah, but it's transparent, and I avoid books like that. Brian Wood, I'm talking to you.
But I feel like at least Mark Miller gets, like, really great artists. Because he's got Olivia Coipel on here.
If he's half-assing the story, I literally don't care because there's so many books that he's written over the years that I could go back and read that I would probably enjoy a hell of a lot more.
Usually, like, one out of every three books he does, I do legitimately enjoy. And it's usually the ones with a more positive feel to them. Like, yeah. I enjoyed Starlight book.
Starlight, Huck.
Yeah, it's when he avoids the cynicism, mm-hmm. which he relies on way too much. When he actually avoids it, mm-hmm. he can write some okay stuff. I'm not saying that you should go out and get Kick-Ass or Hit Girl. Not that they're bad. But speaking of Hit Girl.
What?
You know, there's a new Hit Girl ongoing. Guess who's taking over writing duties with issue 5 in June?
I'm sure I don't know.
Jeff Lemire.
What?
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
That's because Mark Millar pays money.
Oh, yeah.
He's got money to give creators.
Yeah, like, and then since it is creator-owned, it sells. I mean, I doubt Lemire's like in on the back end or something. I think he's just writing it. Mm-hmm. But like for the artists that he gets in, like that is guaranteed money because that's guaranteed to sell like crazy, and you're getting all that back end.
That's why all these like people that are amazing stay over at Valiant, because they got cash to spend.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. I'm not mad about it.
Artists getting paid is great. Yeah. Always great.
All for it.
Mm-hmm. but something that's going to be really cool, I think, is this Bloodstrike by Michael Fife.
Yeah.
We've got the number 0 issue and the number 23 issue, because it's doing like Prophet did, mm-hmm. where it's continuing after the original numbering of the original book.
Yeah.
And continuing the story. I think it might be great. Michael Fife is pretty, pretty good.
I'm down. I can't wait to read it. I can't wait to see how insane it's going to be.
It's going to be insane. It's going to look real cool. He's the guy that does the series Copra. It's like mm-hmm. super creator-owned, all his own thing.
Gorgeous book.
Yeah. This is exciting that he's doing this, even though it is... It's freaking Bloodstrike, but it's cool.
All right, we really got to hit the gas on this. Killer Bee Killed comes to an end this June with issue number 20. Dropped off of the book. Probably will go back and read it now that I know that there's an ending on the horizon. It definitely took some Byzantine paths. Otherwise, marginally enjoyed it. What about you, MJ? Do you see anything in Image coming out in June that you want to mention?
Yeah, here? I dropped off on Killer Bee Killed too, so it's fine. Shanghai Red,
yes.
Written by Christopher Sabella, art by Joshua Hickson. And Hassan Atsmana Elhau. This looks really cool. We got a preview of it at Emerald City. We love Christopher Sabella's work, so mm-hmm. pretty stoked to see that coming out.
Absolutely.
There are a lot of trade collections, like Volume 1's coming out, which mm-hmm. is cool, but I'm sad to see there aren't a lot of $9.99 trades in there, which is, it's really a bummer as a retailer and also as a, like, consumer.
I always appreciate when Image puts the effort in to, like, take kind of, like, a hit. Because they could sell these for $15 and get away with it, but selling for 10
17, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, selling them for 10 is great because you get someone in, they're, you know, read that first volume, they get connected, they get involved, and then they want to read more. And it's harder to sell a first volume when they're $17 or $20, and it's just kind of a bummer.
All right, let's jump. I'm just going to read from Miscellaneous Publishers, and you just tell me what you think about it.
Okay.
All right, jumping over to Aftershock in the June solicits. Just so you guys know, at the time of this podcast, Boom and IDW did not release their solicits, so we have no idea what's going on yet. Over at Aftershock, not a whole bunch is catching me. A lot of the books that we knew were coming, like Her Infernal Descent. Lost City Explorers is the, I think, the one big debut is from Zach Kaplan and Alvaro Saraseca. But the one thing I am excited about is the Insects Year One hardcover.
Oh, cool.
They're collecting the complete Insect series in one huge book. And I think that's a book that we'll probably end up owning. So I wanted to make sure to mention that. If nothing else, so I can listen to this and remember to buy it when it comes out.
As far as the other publishers go, the other only other one that I've seen, and they didn't put out the whole, like, all their solicits yet, but Dynamite, John Layman, and Joe Eisma are going to be doing a Charlie's Angels comic book.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I don't know, I kind of am almost, again, intrigued enough to buy.
Because, I love John Layman. I think he's a great guy.
Yeah.
What the hell's he doing writing a Charlie's Angel book? Couldn't make it two women to put...
I think he's going to have fun on that book. I think he's going to have fun on that book, and it'll... Because it's like the old TV show. It's not even like, mm-hmm. you know, the newer Drew
the
Barrymore
McG
thing.
The version.
Yeah. It might be fun. I like John Layman a lot, so it should be cool.
Well, I like you a lot. Well, moving over to Rebellion, the one big thing they've got coming in June is the 2000 AD sci-fi special, which features an all-female roster of writers, artists, colorists, and letterers.
That's cool.
They ran the gamut. That's cool. MJ, do you have anything to add to this barrage of solicit information?
Nothing at all. We already talked about the stuff I was interested in.
Yeah, me too. Let's jump into our top 5. What do you say?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. MJ, MJ, let's have you kick us off, please. Take it away.
My first one is a book that I wasn't expecting to be, like, stoked about. Cave Carson Has an Interstellar Eye, number one.
Yeah, same. Hey, I picked that, too.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Oh, that's funny. See, I picked it because, like, I don't even think I got through the first issue of the first series. And I should have. I should have just, like, powered through because I feel like I would have liked it. Because out of all of those Milk Wars one-shots, the Cave Carson Swamp Thing one, the Cave Carson one was kind of my favorite.
Mm.
And it might have been because the characters were, like, new to me and it was, like, just a fun take and a good, like, perspective on the whole crossover event thing.
So fresh and new.
Yeah, but it was really fun. This is a different artist because Emming is coming back for it than was on the one-shot. Right. A different artist in the one-shot. And this isn't going to be co-written with Gerard Way anymore.
Just John Rivera. Yeah.
And I have seen him on some panels since. He seems like he knows what's going on. So yeah, and also this issue, Cave Carson Has an Interstellar Eye, number one, has a super gorgeous Christian Ward cover.
It's the truth.
A variant cover, I should say. What is your second? I guess this will be your
second. This will be my second, yeah. This is going great.
Mm-hmm.
My second is Quantum and Woody, number four, by Yay. Daniel Kipple-Smith.
Yay.
Kano's back, which I'm very excited for. He took a break last issue. Letters by Dave Sharp. Quantum and Woody, great book. Are you reading it? No? Yeah. It's really awesome. It's funny. It's got familial pathos. I feel like I've written it down. I think Kipple-Smith is like the next Zdarsky.
Yeah.
I really do. I like how he presents himself on the social media. I like the way that he writes characters. I like his enthusiasm for writing. I like his enthusiasm for the industry. He's one of those new voices that I think this industry needs. Nice little shot in the arm. And Valiant scooped him up wisely and put them on one of their killer books.
Well, he's also doing a Marvel book, too.
Yeah, he's doing Lockjaw.
Yeah. So if you ever wanted to read a book about an enormous teleporting pup, that's Lockjaw.
Yep, that's right. MJ, what's next for you?
My next one is a collection. It is Moonstruck Volume 1 from Image. This has been such a fun little series. Super cute. And this is not meant in a you know, as a diss. It's a very soft book. It's a sweet book.
No.
It's fun. It's really gay. It's just adorable. And it's written by Grace Ellis, who's one of the Lumberjanes creators, with art by Shea Beagle. And then there's usually, like, at least a page or two in there drawn by Kate Leff. It's got a stellar creative team. Lots of ladies. They're all great. And it's a super, super fun experience to read.
Very cool.
What's your next book, Jared?
A bittersweet one. Nightwing number 41.
Why bittersweet?
I believe, and I'm probably mistaken, as I so often am, this might be the last Humphreys Chang issue.
For real?
Yeah, I think that their arc is coming to an end. Nightwing is another fantastic book. It's quickly become one of my favorites that I've read so far this year. If you haven't checked it out yet, or if you dropped Nightwing for some strange reason, pick it up again. In the meantime, Nightwing number 41 is my third pick this week. MJ, what's next for you?
Well, my third pick is Infinity 8, number one. Just, I think this might be the first time that I have had a Lion Forge book on my requests.
I think so.
I don't, even though they own Magnetic Press and they put out tons of good stuff, but this one doesn't seem to be part of their universe, and it seems very Euro comics-y. The art's really cool.
And the cover stock is gorgeous.
Oh yeah, it's super nice and like very glossy and thing. But the art is by Dominique Bertel, written by Louis Trondheim and Zepp. And it's just, it's super, super pretty. It's very cool, like sci-fi, parallel
very
world.
Very Mobius-y.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. Mm-hmm. I am very excited to dig into it, but it's called Infinity 8, number one.
I'm glad you picked that up. I might have to flip through that.
Feel free.
Will do.
What's your next book for us, Jared?
Here's a weird one. Here's something I never thought I'd be doing. Pumping up a Cable book.
What?
Yeah, the only time last time I read a Cable anything was the first three issues of the Robinson run. And I was like, that's enough of that. Got what I needed out of that. But here's a creative team that I'm pretty excited for. Zach Thompson and Lonnie Nadler.
On Cable.
On Cable. Marvel's been poaching those Black Mask boys.
Interesting.
You got Matthew Rosenberg over on God Knows Everything right now.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, back to Cable. We got German Peralta doing the art. I don't have the rest of the creative team on here because they're not part of Solicits and Cable's not in front of me right now. But the cover's done by Daniel Warren Johnson and Mike Spicer, which is also awesome.
I love them.
Thompson and Nadler are two other writers that I feel are like a part of a new wave that I'm really pumped about. Every book that they do is just awesome.
And they've got a lot of stuff in the pipeline.
They do. So, like, it's just exciting to see what they got coming next. I think their Cable run is going to be a limited one, but an enjoyable one, I have no doubt. Cable number 155 is my fourth pick this week, MJ. What's next for you?
My next one's a sad one.
What?
Mighty Thor 705.
Oh, no.
The death of the Mighty Thor. Oh, it's no. really seeming like it is, actually, the death of the Mighty Thor. Which, wow, they called this the storyline that way. I shouldn't be surprised. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, I didn't think it would be that simple as to have actually been what happened to be the name of the arc.
If we've established one thing this week, it's that nobody puts any effort into titles anymore. Literally no imagination.
This whole arc has been so dramatic and emotional and like affecting. Like every time I read these stupid issues, I like want to cry.
Oh man.
But this ends on a crazy huge note with to be concluded. And I'm just, I don't know what to do. But the art's beautiful by Russell Donnerman and Matt Wilson, written by Jason Aaron.
Yeah.
It's wonderfully done.
It's an important book to you.
Yeah.
It really is.
But it's also just like one of the best superhero books being published.
Yes.
I know I say this all the time, but it's true. It's fucking fantastic. And I'm really sad to see it go. But I am looking forward to seeing what Russell Dowderman ends up doing next. So yeah. there is
Same.
That.
Superman, hopefully.
I hope he stays at Marvel and does something fun. Superman's got enough shit going on. But yeah, Mighty Thor 705, the penultimate issue of the Death of Mighty Thor storyline. What's your next one?
It's my last one, too. Well, my next one is Punk's Not Dead, number
you
two.
You like that book?
Love that book. FYI, for people who care, the last installment of my interview with Martin Simmons, the artist of Punk's Not Dead and Punk's Not Dead editor, Shelley Bond, will drop on Friday. That's this Friday, so keep an eye out for that. But Punk's Not Dead, number one, is one of the most assured debuts I've read this year, hands down. I absolutely adore it. I can't recommend it enough. I've said plenty of things on Doomrock. I've said plenty of things on this podcast. So all suffice to say, Punk's Not Dead, number two, closes out my top five most anticipated picks this week with aplomb. MJ, what's last for you?
All right, my last one is Runaways, number seven, written by Rainbow Rowell. Art by Chris Anka and Matt Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best Runaways has been since Mr. Vaughn was writing it and Mr. Alfono was drawing it. It's so much fun. And if you just look at the cover, it's like a sort of like a family portrait style thing. Mm-hmm. Just look at Chase's face on that cover. And that face is like my face because I'm like really super stoked about reading that book. And that's my last one.
I know that's your last one. Everyone knows. They count this down along with us. Don't you people at home. Oh, you guys are sweet. Every week we ask you a question on social media. We didn't get to do it on Tuesday night like we normally do. Still getting used to this weekly thing. Sorry about that, guys. But this week's question was Bendis's Man of Steel, Hawkman number one, Justice League number one, Plastic Man number one, so many Batman Catwoman wedding tie-ins. What was your take on DC's June 2018 solicitations? We asked, you guys answered. MJ, what's doing on Twitter?
Jeremy Hashat said, Brian Ho writing Detective Comics is pretty cool. Black Lightning Hong Kong Fui Special looks pretty awesome. Batman Prelude to the Wedding is a really dumb title.
Totally agree.
Yep.
And thus, Steve Orlando retweeted and said that all those number ones will make hashtag the unexpected sneak up on you in June. Shamelessly plugs, runs away. I guess it's not so shameless. Oh, Steve.
At Confusion Grows said, that's too many mans for my liking.
Still on Twitter, Peter Listmaster at Wooble89 said, pretty excited for Man of Steel, Justice League, and Plastic Man. Worried that new Superman is ending, and annoyed we still don't have a new Wonder Woman writer.
Yeah, we still have James Robinson writing the adventures of Wonder Woman's brother Jason.
How exciting.
Yeah. At TonyVNRS said, love it. And at Lewis G. Creech said, excited about it. We'll be adding them all.
I think Dan Brooks shares that sentiment. At Dan_Brooks said, excited.
My friend Lisa McCarty said, more Catty makes me happy when she's written correctly. And by Catty, she means Catwoman, who is her favorite character.
Of course, of course. So thank you guys for coming in the last minute and saying hello to us. Watch out for that hashtag Casual Wednesdays. We will be sure to get it up Tuesday, so keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, earlier in the evening.
Yeah. Or in the daytime. That's it. it. That's all the time we have for this installment of Casual Wednesdays. Need more of this dweeby little podcast in your life? Check out our 49-episode archive over on 49. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, wherever you get your podcasts. I know, 49. Next week.
We have to do a 50th thing.
We have a 50th episode next week. We have to do a 50th thing. I don't know what the hell we're going to do for it.
We'll think of something.
Rate and subscribe. Tell us how we're doing or search Casual Wednesdays over at doomracket.com. And while you're on the internet, look us up on Twitter. I'm at @JaredJones_. MJ, where can they find you?
At @MollyJane_K.
And that's it. So until the day somebody can explain what the hell a Hawkman is supposed to be, I remain Jared. That's MJ. And from all of us here at doomracket.com, have a great new comic book day. Hawkman, I don't get Hawkman.
Harvey Birdman.
Harvey Birdman, I get.